And now, if you will, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we will take our reading from verse 8 through verse 10. Listen to this. This is God's very word to you. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let's pray. Our Father, we are so grateful for the work of Jesus Christ. We are thankful that in Him we have been given life eternal, that in Him we have access to Your throne, that in Him we can draw near to You. And it's in His name this very day that we ask that You will press upon us the importance of good works, biblical good works, and that You will make us zealous for them, that we might grow in grace and be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We ask this in Your holy name. You're scrolling, if you have it, on your Facebook page, and you're scrolling down this long list of stories of people's life, and all of a sudden, there's some picture that has some generic statement about faith, and it says something like this: click like and share and type amen if you love Jesus. Pass it by if you're of the devil. Or something ridiculous. Or maybe you don't have Facebook, but let's say you're walking into a store in November and there's a kettle. And someone is standing there ringing a bell. And you go to yourself, well, I would like to contribute, but I really can't, and so you pass by, and as you get by that, you go, wait, is this what I'm supposed to do? Does this mean that I'm a bad Christian because I didn't give to this? Oftentimes, our minds are conflicted about what constitutes good works. What are biblical Christian good works? In our text, it says something about good works. It says a few things. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works. That's one type. So that no one may boast, for we are His workmanship. That's another. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Those are what we're talking about today. The created in Christ Jesus for or unto good works. What is it that we are supposed to do as Christians? What is it that good works consist in? You get the idea by some people as we're discussing the Facebook thing or the email, or you get the guilt trip over not giving at that instance, and you feel almost as if, well, because sometimes you go, well, if I love Jesus, will I do this? You wonder. And so I ask you, is that what it means to love Jesus. Is that what it means to have good works, to click, like, and share, or to mindlessly drop a dollar into a bucket? Is that good works? Again, our text speaks of works twice and workmanship once, and it mentions them, but it's only still at the beginning of bringing to bear, because he mentions it, our text mentions it, and then the apostle goes on for another two chapters, or the rest of this chapter in chapter 3, and he doesn't set it out for us, and so it might leave us with a question. But in chapter 4, through the end of the book, the apostle develops for us what good works are. But from our text, we're going to draw out three things, and then I'm going to give you the assignment. So this afternoon, go home, and after lunch, maybe before your nap or right after your nap, to read Ephesians 4 through 6. And take it and absorb it and think on it in terms of what you hear today. Because as we are going to open up our text, I want you to see that good works are not the source of your salvation, but they flow from or because of your salvation. This is important. Good works are not the source of your salvation. They flow from or because of your salvation. We're going to see this in three points this morning. Firstly, we're going to see the source of our good works. Secondly, the nature of our good works. And lastly, the necessity of our good works. The source of our good works, the nature of our good works, and the necessity of good works. So what are the source of a Christian's good works? Well, look at verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And then it goes on to say, we are His workmanship created unto or for good works. So what's the source of our works, our living, our doing as Christians? Well, it is God's free and gracious salvation received by faith. The text says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves and not a result of works. This is important that we get this order, that Paul stresses this before he gets to our works. Because if you're not careful, you might end up in the state of so many people in our day. That God is pleased with me, and of course He would save me because, well, I do this. I give my tithe. I fast twice a week. Or because I go to church every Sunday. God must be pleased with me, and therefore salvation, well, salvation's got to be given to me. I've never murdered. I've never stolen. I've never told a lie. But that's not the basis of salvation. No, salvation is the basis for your good works. And that is a key and distinct phrase. That is a key and distinct doctrine that you must get. It's important so that we are not puffed up, so that we do not say that we are trusting in God while we are actually trusting in ourselves. That's a danger. And as we read this, as you read this, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing, it's the testimony of all of Scripture. It ought to put you in mind of something that the psalmist says. As you read this, as you read it, it ought to put you in mind of Psalm 100, shouldn't it? Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His, not we ourselves, some translations state it. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. This is always the nature of it with God. If we are His, it's because He made us so. We didn't make ourselves so. We are His workmanship. We are not our own. And so then the source of Christians' good works is, well, the free grace of God given to us, making us new, making us His children, making us His sheep, making us willingly obedient to our Father. And so that's the source of our good works. But what's the nature of good works? What are good works that are acceptable to God by the believer? Verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What are good works then? How do we define them? Well, our own confession of faith sets it out this way. Good works are only such as God hath commanded in His holy word, and not such as without the warrant thereof are devised by men out of blind zeal or upon any pretense of good intention. What are good works? Well, they're what God has commanded us to do. And what has God commanded us to do? Well, He has shown you, O man, we read in our Old Testament reading, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. The reality of the fact is that we often try to convolute things and make them more complicated than they are because we are so bent on trying to follow our own way rather than following His. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which He prepared for us beforehand that we should walk in them. He didn't leave us to question. That's what verse 10 is saying. He prepared them beforehand that we should walk in them. What are they? Well, it's the law of God written on our hearts. It's not scrolling through, clicking like, and saying amen. No, it's 10 simple things, really, that are summed up in two commands. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's what He's prepared beforehand. That's what He has told you. And so it's not, well, things that men say that get us discombobulated, that make us stress out that we are not doing that which God called us to do. No, if we are loving our neighbor as ourself, if we are loving God with all of our heart, those are good works. That's what God requires. And so let's deal in reverse with what our confession points out. First, we'll deal with what our text says about them negatively. As we saw in our first point, then, that good works do not earn salvation. They are not something that we do unto salvation. They're not something by which we commend ourselves to God. I don't say, well, you know, I haven't murdered, and so God, you ought to accept me. I don't say, Lord, I haven't lied. I haven't cheated on my taxes, and so you ought to accept me. That's not anything with which to commend ourselves to God. Because as we try to rest in our works, Isaiah tells us exactly what that is. If we are looking to works for salvation, well, we're in a fearful spot. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6 says, of those who try to commend themselves to God, we have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment, or like a filthy rag. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. So if I'm trying to commend myself to God by what I do, I give, I fast, I help others. The reality is I'm taking a dirty rag and I am trying to clean up an oil spill with an oil-soaked rag. And instead of cleaning up, I'm making the mess bigger. So what then does our text mean? Well, unbelievers may do good things. An unbelieving man may have helped you change your tire when you were stranded on the side of the road, but that doesn't commend him to God. No, it's only on the basis of grace through faith in Christ. That's where our good works come from. The Bible says that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The Scripture then tells us, demands of us to be those who are of faith, living and working in light of the Word. The Scripture tells us that whatsoever does not proceed from faith is sin. In other words, as you do something, are you recognizing God's will and you're wanting to obey Him? Or are you trying to garner favor with God? And that's the distinction. It's very fine. It's very difficult to perceive. Sometimes our own hearts trick us, but that's the distinction. And so then we say good works are what God has commanded, no matter how zealous we are. I may help everyone that I've ever seen on the road. I may stop and change their tire. I may pull up beside the homeless man, give him a few dollars, and give him a bag of food, every single one of them. But that is nothing for me to commend myself with God, no matter how zealous I am. If God has not commanded it, it is not good works. It's offering up our own opinions. It is idolatry. What do I mean? What do I mean by this? Well, God has very simply commanded us to live in light of who He is and to walk after Him in love. We'll get to that in just a moment, but let me give you an illustration from the Scripture of zeal. A zeal for God, but not for His Word. You know the story in 1 Samuel 15, right? Saul has been commanded to utterly wipe out Agag and the hosts of that land and the people of that land. And Saul, he says, "I hear you, Lord, but you know what? I'm going to offer up a great offering to you." God has simply commanded him one thing to do. You go in and you do this. But Saul feels that he loves the Lord so much that he should do something different. And so you get through there, and Saul has left alive this king. He has disobeyed God. And hear what happens. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 20. "And Saul said to Samuel, 'I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me. I have brought I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I have devoted the Amalekites to destruction. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, the best of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal.'" You see, Lord, we're doing this for you, even though you've commanded differently. And what does Samuel say to Saul? "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams, for rebellion is as the sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry." Good works are that which God has commanded, that which God has prepared for us beforehand. So what Saul did was not good works. It's not good works to pass along a chainmail or to click like and share, though they're not wrong. But they're not good works. They're only such as what God has commanded. You see, too often we think that something done out of charity or kindness qualifies as good works. Is it? No. Our text and the scripture and our confession set before us two requirements to be good works. One, they must be in conformity to scripture. And secondly, they must be in sincerity as an act of service out of a good conscience to God. You see, our good works don't merit God's favor, but they are out of love to Him. The scriptures say it, our confession says it this way: yet notwithstanding the persons of believers being accepted in Him, not as though they were in this life holy and unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight, but that He, looking upon them in His Son, is pleased to accept and reward that which is sincere, although accompanied with many weaknesses and imperfections. What do we mean? What do I mean? What are we setting out when we say this? Well, you get to chapter 4. We see that we are made for good works, and we see that good works are only as what Scripture sets out. So how do we perform them? What are they? Well, look in chapter 4 and verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Then you jump down to verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. Verse 22. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And he goes through a list. Put away falsehood. Speak the truth in love with your neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And give no opportunity to the devil. And as you read through this, you know, what is Paul doing? He's opening up for us the law of God. And he is showing to us what it means to love our neighbor as ourself and to love God. Verse 1 of chapter 5. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And then he goes through and tells us more of what these good works are. And as he does so, he is setting before us the nature of good works. The importance of that is this: it's only those who have been created in Christ who can walk in this way. It's only those who have grace and faith in Christ who might walk in this way unto the love of God and the love of their neighbor. What are good works? Quite frankly, it's simply trying to live according to Scripture, to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And because of that, they are necessary for believers. The necessity of good works is indisputable. We are to offer up to God our whole-souled obedience and love. We are to offer up to God everything that we do, whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, all unto His glory, but only by His grace and by His Spirit can we do this. What does it look like? You know your hearts. We just read chapter 4 and it talked about gentleness and humility and patience, and we know that the Lord would have this of us. And we try, we seek to do so to the glory of Christ, and yet we are impatient and often not very gentle. And we limp along. And we are still trying to find acceptance before God based on what we do instead of believing His promises. What do I mean? Well, this is what I mean. It means that in Jesus Christ, you are no more accepted or loved based on what you do than you are the first moment you believe. Yes, you offer up a whole-souled obedience out of love so that you go before Him and you say, Jesus, I have stumbled, I have fallen. And you're not trying to earn His favor that way. You're already in His favor, but you cast yourself upon Him. Let me give you an illustration. I've given this to you before. If Avery and Ella, when they are a little older, decide they want to wash my car, they want to wash the van, it's filthy, we've been driving, and they say, you know, I love my mom, I love my dad, and I want to do this because I love them so much, and they decide to get out there and wash the car. And the windows are cracked, and they use Dawn dish detergent instead of what you're supposed to, and they wipe the car, and they miss spots, and they miss places. When I come out, and I know that this was a sincere effort out of love to me on their part, am I going to be angry? Am I going to lash out at them? Are they going to fear when they look at that van that I won't be satisfied? No, they've done it out of love. They know that I will be delighted because they are my child. So our obedience, with all its halting, with all of its missteps, with all of its weakness, with all of its frailty, with all of its sin, as long as we are in Christ, we offer up to God this in sincerity, hoping to follow His word. He receives us in Jesus. And we proceed in love to Him. We proceed because He is worthy, and we have been created in Him. And so then that leads us to the necessity. He says that He has created us unto good works. That is, for the purpose. He has redeemed us for the purpose of good works. If this very day you say, well, I only rest in Jesus, and I'm not worried about sanctification, I'm not worried about following Him, I prayed a prayer, or I say that I trust Him. Well, let me ask you one question. If something is not serving the purpose for which it's made, is it really that which is said of it? What do I mean? Well, someone says, you know, Nick, the doctor gave me a bionic arm. An arm that is able to lift up to 700 pounds. And I look at his arm and I think, well, that looks just like a natural arm. It hasn't been changed at all. No, this is a bionic arm, and it is able to lift 700 pounds. There's no surgical marks there, but the man tells you every day, I can lift 700 pounds, but you never see him do it, and he never does. The question is, what would you think of that man's claim to have a bionic arm? How do we tie this back in? I'm a Christian. I say I love Jesus, and yet I never give myself in whole-souled obedience to Him. I never seek to follow Him according to His Word. I live as if He doesn't exist. Oh yes, I pay Him lip service. But He's not first in my thoughts. He's not first in my heart. And I don't love that man as I love myself. Can I say that I am in any way a Christian? No, we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You see, they don't count to salvation, but they do count in order to demonstrate genuine love for God who saves. It shows forth a whole-souled desire to serve and to love and to worship Him. Jesus said it simply, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So what are good works? Well, they don't save us. The source is not from our own doing. They are from God. What are they? They are what Scripture commands: to love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, as the Scripture displays. Read this afternoon Ephesians 4 through 6. It's to love God, to love your neighbor, and to battle sin in your own heart. And if they're not there, then you need to examine yourself in light of what Scripture says and to cast yourself on Christ, asking Him to save you, asking Him to give you such works. No, scrolling through a Facebook feed is not determining whether or not you love Jesus. What determines whether or not you love Jesus is whether you hear Him in His Word and you live accordingly. Those are the good works He requires. Let's pray.